Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. You know, last week we covered, not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, acknowledge Jesus, acknowledge His Word. Because our own understanding, our mind often will say, oh, the best thing we should do is this. And this is the way of the world. It's the way of the flesh. It's the way of our former life. And what God says is don't be thinking your own way. We need to start thinking God's way and to not despise the chasing of the Lord. And today it's going to be get wisdom, get understanding. Yeah. And to ultimately be able to say, got wisdom, got understanding, wear a t-shirt. That's our ultimate goal through sanctification is just we want to get more and more wisdom, more and more understanding every day of our life. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all of the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. So it says, in her right hand is length of days. How long? How long is the length of days in the right hand? Everlasting life. Riches in her left hand, riches and honor. The honor of being able to be called a child of God in heaven forever and ever. And the riches of walking on the streets of gold. I mean, when we really look at it's not like wisdom saves us. Wisdom is the result of being saved. It's a result of everybody who turns to Jesus saying, not my way, God, your way. Your way is wisdom and understanding, and I want that. And the end of that, letting God's word rule our life, it's going to give us everlasting life. Verse 17, her wisdom's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And now some would say, well, okay, if I get wisdom, how can I be peace if I'm living in, let's say I'm a Christian in Syria, how am I going to get, how is that going to work? Or even the Christians this week that are being shipped back to Syria. Did you know that? We're deporting immigrants that were Christians and they're going to go into an ISIS place. Can you imagine that? On the plane, could you have peace? If you're using the wisdom of God and you just got, wow, God, why am I getting deported? And I get on a plane and I know I'm going to land in an area that's full of Muslim extremism. In the flesh, you'd be terrorized. But in the spirit, you'd be at peace. Why? Because they can only kill your tent. They can only rip up your tent. They can't rip up you. Because you is a child of God that's in the... And I mean, you could sit there and just say, God, for the amount of time they give me, I'm going to just be telling them about you. And just have a total peace about what's going on. So wisdom, or ways of pleasantness... We can have a peace in the midst of turmoil. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Tree of life. That's what's in the. That was there in the beginning in the garden. It's, in the first two chapters you see the tree of life. You see it in the last two chapters of the Bible. We're going to have the tree of life, access to the tree of life, and when we get wisdom, which is to get Jesus. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. And so we serve a God who's... This wisdom in the word of God comes from the God who created the heavens and the earth. And that's pretty wise. So we can use his wisdom. We can decide, God should be the one that tells me what to do with my life. He should override what I'm thinking right in my own eyes. I should let his wisdom and then it goes on to say, and by his knowledge the depths were broken up. That's a biblical euphemism for what? The flood of Noah. By his wisdom, he knows how to deal with the ungodly. And isn't that comforting? Last Thursday, went into the jail, and I told you that we were shut down in the jail, right? Because to a certain extent, the jail ministry, we can still go in there on Thursdays. But there was a lot more jail ministry going. There was a religious coordinator at the jail, and people would put in kites, requests for, I want a Bible. I want to talk to the chaplain, religious coordinator. I wanted it. And so there was like 7 volunteers that were volunteering. They had shirts, badges that just gave them access to go sit like you're sitting with a lawyer. You could sit one-on-one with them instead of having them go through their Skyping screens or be up at the window. And what happened a few weeks ago is that a track that compared Islam to Christianity and another track that was a woman's testimony of what she endured in the Islamic country were left out, and a Muslim was upset and told his imam at the mosque in Bremerton, the new mosque in Bremerton. The imam called the sheriff. The whole thing got shut down. And then it said, so all that got shut down. And so then they said, we're going to think about this and have a meeting with you to develop a new policy. That meeting happened last Tuesday. And the new policy is have all your people turn in their shirts. It's all done. It's gone. You can still do the Thursday visitation. So when I went out on Thursday, I was, and I'm going to add another little piece to this story. There's in this, what's called the central unit, there's a B pod, there's a C pod, there's a D pod. The B pod is one step away from isolation because they're bad guys. Bad of the bad guys. And when you go, they only let the lower tier out, you know, 20 guys max about. And they can go out for 2 hours and they lock them up, let the upper out, and that's it for a day. It's like two hours a day. Well, they would do the same thing. They let lower out for us to do Bible study. Then they would lock them up, do the other for half an hour. And then C pods an hour and D pods an hour. But when I got there last Thursday, they said there's no B pod anymore. Why? Well, see, they 2-3 weeks ago, they kicked out these people that are able to go in there. And all of a sudden, there's just increasing violence and stuff in the jail. And they said that B pod now, they'd only let half of the lower floor out for their 2 hours, the other half. And so now because they couldn't trust to let them all out because they'll scrap and go crazy and mess up, you know, overload the guards, they said, we ought to skip B pod. So now it's just C and D. So when I went into C, the guys that usually hang in C, they don't know me because they weren't bad enough to be in B because I leave after B pod. So I go in there and I'm explaining to them the reason, you know, okay, I'm Pastor Kevin, the reason I'm here in the C pod first time in years is because they shut down B. And also I want you to know that there's no more, you can't Skype for a Bible and get it from the religious coordinator and you can't have these appointments and stuff like that. And then I said, because somebody got upset about a track about Islam and told their imam and they called the sheriff and shut it all down. And I out of the corner of my eye off to the left, I saw this guy and he goes, yes. He did a fist pump, yes. And we didn't know who it was till that. I go, oh, so you're the guy. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, anti-Islamic propaganda. And then everybody else just goes, thanks, buddy. You got a smile on your face. And they're getting mad because this guy just shut the whole thing down. And so then I said, you know what? Guys, that's okay. For any of you that are Christian here, you know what? We love you. You know, we know you're being deceived. And you know, the thing about Christianity is we don't have to do anything to him. We don't have, see, if this were to be turned if we were in a different country and it was the tables were turned, we'd all be expected to be killed. But see, we don't have to do that because we serve the God of love. And you know why? Because our God is big enough that in the end, it all gets taken care of. See, that's what it says here. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up. See, we serve a God that he knows how to destroy the entire earth. He doesn't need us to lop off heads. He doesn't need us to go and torture and terrorize people because they don't believe. We serve a God who is going to make it all work out in the end. And, you know, we serve, and he's a God of love. And, you know, I grieve for you that you've been deceived. And, you know, and this is the way true Christianity is. And that's the difference. And so guys, don't worry about it. The true God takes care of everything in the end. And he wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to come to a knowledge of this loving God. And then that guy, that fist pumper guy, the rest of the message, which was about the love of God too, he was holding his head. I don't know what's going to happen. We can pray for him. Pray for the, I don't know what his name was. Pray for, and he was a white guy. Usually, mostly in the jail, it's the black guys that get, you know, deceived into following Islam because the Muslims like to use them to their ends. So wisdom, the wisdom of knowing our God has the end figured out. Let that sink in. That goes back to having peace, pleasantness, that I can have peace, that God's in charge. He knows everything. He knows how to set the record straight. My son, let them, the truth of creation and God's judgment, let the fact that God is so big not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. He knows everything. He sees everything. He said everything about what's good and evil. Let that never depart from your eyes to keep you in discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. God created us with all of our emotions, including the joys of restful sleep. Don't you love it when you have a restful, restful sleep? And God wants to bless us with that. He created us so that we have sleep. But sin in our life, or sin in other people's lives toward us, can rob us of that restful sleep, can it, at times? You can just be terrorized. And, you know, the blessing that we can do as Christians, as believers, when we lose that restful sleep because of our own sin, or because of sins of others against us, is we can go back to the wisdom of God and get it back. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We can repent from our sin and say, God, I can't undo the sin. I can't undo the consequences of sin. But I can just rest right now, God, that you're still in charge of my life and I can walk in the light from here on. I can do what you want me to do. And God, people have sinned against me and man, they sinned against you so many more times worse. And yet you still laid down your life for sinners. And may God help me to have that attitude and to let your word rule in my life, to let love rule in my life. And then you can lay down and go to sleep. And as long as you don't drink coffee, you don't take Red Bull any time after noon, etc., etc. Yeah. And restful sleep. You know, and I sometimes like, Lord Jesus, what are you trying to tell me? Recently, I'll have a restful sleep, but I wake up because I have a dream. I'm back in the Navy on a submarine as an old man, you know. It's like, can't I just at least be young again? You know, and everybody's sitting around going, where are you from? Wow, man, I used to be young and used to know what I was doing. And it's kind of weird. It's a nightmare being back in the Navy. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. How? It's difficult in this life, again, unless you let your mind go to the truth of the end game. You know, I was talking to Dave King and he says, everything's great. I've read the last page. I know how it ends. See, if trouble comes, could trouble come to our country? But praise God that could have been so much worse. We could have had, do you realize how close people, educated major politicians are talking about how close we could be to civil war. Do you realize it's possible? Something like that that would have gone worse, could have gone tit for tat. And all of a sudden, which is what the elites really want, they want us to be in turmoil so that they can take the control that they want. So I'm thinking that they're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And so when sudden terror comes, should it come in our lifetime? I'm not predicting anything. I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet. But should sudden terror come, I'm telling myself, I'm telling you, remember this verse. I can have confidence in the Word of God. I can think, I can just take a moment, get into my spiritual mindset, and just say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Whatever happens, it is well with my soul. The Lord will be your confidence, will keep your foot from being caught into the worldly responses that are going to occur all around us. People who have not Jesus, who have not the hope of the Word of God, are going to freak out in America. They are going to go absolutely bonkers. And in the midst of that, you can have your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it in, have it with you. Yeah, and it's talking about your neighbor is starving. Man, our crops were bad and we finally ran out of our last jar of wheat. Could you help me? No. You know, come back tomorrow. God is saying, no, you say, yes, I can help you. I can give you food. I can give you clothing. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Anybody know of somebody that just, they live as a neighbor to just make everybody's life miserable around them? Yeah. There are, I know people have been terrorized. They move into a house and they realize this neighbor, there is no making friends. The very fact I moved in is all that mattered to them. And that I live in a house next to them because they consider that our house their house, our property their property, and they're just terrorized the whole time. And what God's telling us is we shouldn't do that. We should love our neighbors. If they're in pain, we should be praying for them. If we should be reaching out for them, out to them, and trying to minister to them, to never be devising evil against our neighbor. Do not strive with a man without cause if he has done you no harm. Some people, again, make it their mission to strive. We must not. Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the perverse, and the word really means a devious, one who turns away from anything good. A perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. And there was that article I put on the table a couple Sundays ago where somebody analyzed all that the Democrats are doing to try and just stir things up and to keep it going. And it's just like, look at how they control the narrative. They just, how they do this in the government. They do this in the media. They do this. And says what, how, and then the solutions were at the bottom and says, but one thing we can't do is what they do. You know, we can't lie. We can't do these things. We can't just try and stir up and make something out of nothing. And so we, in the same way, a Christian should never say, man, look at what they got away with. Let's try it. We should never be of that mindset. Because we, you know, we're taking they say people take the high road. We're taking God's road. And if God doesn't want us to do evil, we don't do it. We don't do evil for righteousness' sake. And in a way, this is why, and people bemoan this, people that analyze what's going on in the country, they recognize this. It's why it seems like the righteous end up getting oppressed and taken over by the wicked in a society, because the wicked have no scruples. They'll lie, they'll deceive, they'll take over, they'll do power plays, and they have no scruples about. And the righteous say, "Oh, we can't do that. We can't do the same to beat you, or even to repel your attack." And so over time, as the population becomes godless and they're not restrained by the fear of God of doing what's right, then what happens is the evil completely suppresses, takes over, and destroys the righteous. And that's in the history of the world. It's, well, they destroy the righteous in this world, and then what happens, a country gets taken over. Like, look at communism. There was Christianity in Russia and everything else, the Bolshevik Revolution. We're gonna do all this stuff. We're gonna press you. We're gonna round up 20,000 pastors. We're gonna kill them all. Then we're gonna round up millions of other people that used to like having a pastor, and we're gonna kill you all, because we're gonna create a utopia. And we have the power to do it, and we have the soldiers do it, and we're gonna kill you. And they did! And they self-destructed over time, because that's what Satan's world brings you to, the point of self-destruction. And then the window, you know, and then the doors opened up to Christians be able to get in there. And now the doors are going shut again in Russia. So it's, you know, the secret counsel. What is the secret counsel that we get to be with Jesus forever? A person is abomination, but his secret counsel is with the upright. Jesus whispering to us, I know they're taking over. I know they're doing evil. I know they're doing these things, but you get to be with Jesus. My kingdom's coming. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's my secret counsel to you. It's not your citizenship. You will have everlasting life. The curse of the Lord is on, verse 33, the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Now that should sound a little familiar. Does it sound a little familiar? James chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, James is quoting this verse, 34 of Proverbs chapter 3, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And in Proverbs it says, scorns the scornful. It was translated, scorns the scornful, which is resists the proud. You know, proud scorner. See, scorn means prideful in the context of how it's used in the Hebrew. And so God scorns, God is allowed to be prideful. He's God. And he's going to say, oh, really? You want to scorn? You think you're in charge? Watch this. And so he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. May God help us to live as wise children of God. Hear, my children, chapter 4, verse 1, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. So now wisdom is saying to children through us, the parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, whatever, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, give attention to no understanding, and give you good doctrine to not forsake the law. Now, so many times people say today, oh, you know, they're so legalistic. And sometimes, you know, if it's legalistic, the term legalistic biblically really means Judaizers. You know, if you want to be biblical about the term being legalistic, you're talking about Judaizers, meaning, oh, you can't get to God through faith in Jesus Christ. You got to get circumcised. You got to go to the temple. You got to do the worship. That's what Paul spent his whole New Testament writing on, that you think that by doing good things, you can get to God. Okay, that's true legalism, Judaizing from a biblical standpoint. But once you get saved, to say, you know what, I want to do the law of God, and I want to encourage you to do the law of God. You know, as your pastor, I want to encourage you to do the law of God. That some people would say, oh, you're just being legalistic. You know, so I see somebody getting drunk, and I say, you know what? The Word of God says that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. You sure you want to do that? And see, the thing is that should garnish a response, because it's not like a Christian who gets drunk, which happens, means that they have to not be drunk to be able to be saved. It just, when you ask them, do you know what the Bible says about drunkenness? And they go, yeah, I know, and I've fallen into sin. Pray for me, brother. See, that's a true Christian. If they say, get on my life, you're being legalistic, and tell me what to do, and God says that, you know, that we're forgiven for sin, so why not sin? Then you go, oh, you actually really need Jesus. I don't care if you're going to church. I don't care what you say. A Christian doesn't have that attitude in their heart. So we see that what Proverbs, all through the Proverbs, it's giving us God's wisdom. And what we as Christians should do is want it, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we want to do these things? And so don't let somebody say you're legalistic because you want to do the doctrines of God. You want to not forsake his law. Because his law is a reflection of who he is. It's where we're going. So how does it apply? When you tell your children, I don't want you to, you know, hey, put that down. You know, you took that from your sister or whatever. Or you're walking through the store and they're grabbing it. Don't do that. Why? Because it's wrong. Don't do that. Say, no, it's stealing. And the Word of God says, thou shalt not steal. And that's, the devil is inspiring you to covet what's not yours, to take it. And God says, don't covet. And you should, and then just explain to our children. And it's not just that. It's like everything that Proverbs has just said in chapter 3. It's for your good. Because look what happens if you steal. People will say, no, you can't steal my stuff. That's what happened to Spencer. You know, long story there. You should ask him what he went through this week with. Guy has stole his stuff, but he got it back. Look what happens. If somebody steals from you, what is that? Oh, I'm mad about that. See, God's put this within us, and you need to understand we answer to a God for what we're doing. And, you know, take them to the courthouse and let them see. I even suggested that people are struggling with people in child rearing to just go to the courthouse in whatever it's dealing with and let them see what's going on. Not to lie, not to covet, not to dishonor your father and mother, not to, you know, God says, don't dishonor your father and mother. I'm not saying this because I want to have power over you. It's because God gave you to me to show you. Because if we train them why they should do the word of God, what are they going to do? Ultimately, they're going to see the wisdom of God's law. They're going to see the wisdom of how it makes their life pleasant, how it lets them sleep at night, how it keeps them from the wicked one. And then they're going to sit there and fall in love with a God who has given them the avoidance of the things that all around they're seeing their, you know, their peers are growing up doing evil and wickedness. And then they're going to say, wow, this God is wise and has spared me from so many things. And they're going to love that God. And they're going to fall in love with his Jesus when the age comes where their mind can totally grasp what it is to be saved. So the Bible says that we as parents should be teaching our children the wisdom of God and to not forsake his law and to make sure that they understand that it's coming from God. And so when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. And again, the emphasis of parents. This is almost a monthly. It would be good for parents to monthly read this and just read it to their kids. This is what everything that we tell you is all based on obeying God. Right here. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're get understanding. And wisdom is knowing how to respond and how to think in every decision and action that you take. I mean, that's wisdom. Wisdom is God, I need wisdom. How do I respond? When Solomon asked for wisdom in the book of Kings, he was saying, look at these people. I need to rule these people. I need to have wisdom in how to make a decision about what happens when they come to me for legal cases. So wisdom is knowing how to respond. But what's understanding? Understanding is to have wisdom of how things are happening around us from a global perspective. You know, it's like to take the word of God and then understand what's happening. It was the lack of understanding that had all of the disciples unaware of so much of what Jesus said. See, I can read the Word of God, but if I don't do it with understanding of what the Word of God says from a perspective of where we're going, when he says this temple is going to be destroyed, they go, oh yeah, you're right. This has to go down for all your prophetic scriptures because it says the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the sanctuary in the city. And that hasn't been fulfilled yet, so yes, I read your word, and I understand what that means. That means that because it hasn't happened, it has to happen. To see, everybody see how we need not just to read it, but to understand its implications. And now let's take it to today. Are people reading the word of God today, and even in the churches reading the word of God today, and then not having understanding of the days that we're living in? Somebody just sent me an email today. A new law that's in Congress that will basically outlaw cash. Completely make cash. And again, it's like the Bible says you gotta have cash. But it shows you how close we're getting to the kingdom of the Antichrist, because you get rid of cash, it's all digital, it's all computerized. Everybody, they then know everything everybody is buying, and all they have to do is flip a switch and you're done. So we're that close in Congress. We've got the global religion in our face. We've got global government. You know, the elites are just out in the open in their attack of destroying anybody that has an idea of nationalism. Whether it's England decide we're breaking away from globalism and we're going to be nationalistic. Oh yeah? Let's watch the forces of hell come against you. A president of the United States, we're going back to America. I'm not the president of the world. I'm the president of America. I'm going to watch out for America. Watch the forces of hell come against you. Because, and by the way, the Bible does say God divided the languages to get everybody their borders and their places. See, it's God wants division. Do you understand? You know why? Because he saw what happened in Babel. He says when everybody gets together, what did they get together for? Evil. He sees that when everybody unites, it brings evil. And we would have vaporized the planet many millennia ago had it not been for the Tower of Babel, because, you know, you have a Hitler and you have other people that change Hitler. You have somebody rises up for evil in one country, there's other countries that can deal with that. But if everybody becomes one with one leader, now you get a Hitler, there's nobody. And that's where the world is headed. So even this whole issue over nationalism and globalism is a biblical thing. And we get it from biblical understanding of what the biblical history is. So I can know the Word of God, but do I want to apply it? I think that we need understanding as well as wisdom. Exalt her, wisdom and understanding, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her, and maybe not in this world, but in the world to come. She will place on your head the ornament of grace, the crown of glory. She will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Why? Even if things go bad, because you understand. Because you have wisdom and understanding that when you walk in your steps, it will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble, because you understand the end game. You understand that life is spirit. That it's spiritual. It's not this world we see. This world that we see is passing away and all the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And if we can get into that wisdom and understanding, then we can just go through this world and we can have joy and peace no matter what's happening. In politics, in weather, in finances, and social upheavals and everything else, I can still rest if I have understanding and wisdom. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that, God, you would help us to have rest, to have that sweet time of just pondering the truth of your word in a way that lets it sink deep, God, and give us eyes that are filtered, that have lenses in front that filter so that we see things the way you see, that we don't become led astray and go by every wind of doctrine and trickery of man. And, you know, we love you and thank you for your grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
If there's something that, you know, you're struggling with, you know it's evil, you know it's the flesh of the past, you know, just controlling, just Let tonight's study be, go home, and as you're driving home, just say, God, I don't want to rely on that anymore. I want to just give it up. I want you to rule my life. And I'm going to let, you know, that marrow come in of God's word and strength and power of his spirit. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.